Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is wonderful Wednesday, July 31st, 2013. Wow. You know, one of my favorite things, my friends, is to listen to each of you dial in and to hear your names and to hear your voices and to hear where you're dialing in from. Some of you I haven't met yet in person. A lot of you I have, and as I'm hearing you dial in, I'm picturing your beautiful smiling face with your positive, uplifting attitude and your enthusiasm for life, and you know, that just spills over into me, and I want to thank you for being who you are. You know, the fact that you're on this phone call this morning, on this Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, or maybe you're dialing in from the West Coast and at 6 a.m., maybe you're dialing in from a place called Paris, France, like our friend Alex who dials in all the time. Maybe it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon where you're dialing in from. You know, I don't know what time it is where you're at, but one thing I do know is the fact that you would pick up the phone and dial in hopes and in expectation that you'll learn something, that you'll have a little bit more upliftment and enthusiasm for life. You know, that means something very special about you. It means that you're different. It means that you're not a part of the status quo. It means that you're making decisions on a daily basis to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. You know, I heard last night, I heard a quote, someone says, if you're not a part of the solution, you are a part of the problem. And you know, you on this phone means that you are stepping into the solution. You're being a part of the solution. And I can't express how much gratitude I have for you that you would make that decision, that you would make that choice, that you would decide for yourself that you're going to be something bigger in life. And I just want to tell you, thank you. I want to tell you I appreciate you. I want to tell you I believe in you. And I want to tell you I'm so grateful and so honored to be here with you today and to just be a part of this amazing community and this amazing movement where we have people dialing in and, you know, participating in this Think and Grow Rich movement from all different parts of the world. These are people who are not ordinary. These are people who are not quote-unquote average. These are people, you are people who are making decisions to be something great, to do the best that you can to fulfill your purpose here on this earth. And I just want to let you know I admire you and I respect you for that. And I'm honored to march side by side, locking arms with each of you as we collectively step into our better futures together. You know, my friends, I wanted to share a quote here real quick that I think we can all identify with, that, you know, kind of expresses a little bit about what we're doing on this call. This is a quote from John F. Kennedy, and he said, "We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard, because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills." You know, my friends, I think about that quote, and I think about what each of us are doing on this call. And it's kind of like we're choosing to go to the moon. We're choosing to go to the moon, the light that lies deep within our hearts and our souls. We're discovering, we're exploring the depths of who we are and who we can become. We're peeling away the layers of the onion, you know, as Doc Fran likes to say. And we're choosing to do it on a daily basis, not because it's easy, but because maybe it could be considered, you know, to be hard. You know, I like to think of Jim Rohn, who says things that are easy to do are also easy not to do, and vice versa, right? So it can be easy. It can be a daily decision. But, you know, we choose to do it because it's a challenge. We choose to do it because it's worthwhile. We choose to do it because, as Jim Rohn said, all good things are located upstream from us. Right? All good things are located upstream from us. And so this road, this journey of personal development may not be easy all the time, may not be the easiest thing to pick up the phone on a morning and gather something up into our heart and mind and soul that will cause us to grow a little bit. But you know what? One thing I can tell you for sure is that it's worth it. And that's why we choose to be here, my friends. And hey, listen, if you're excited about going to the moon, I want to hear you screaming to the phone as I unmute the lines right now. Bye. because that is the sound of a movement. That is the sound of the world changing, my friends. Keep up the great work. So I'll tell you what, we've got a great message to go through, my friends, and I'm so excited to do the best that I can to be the messenger of the message today. And, you know, I'll appreciate your good intentions and your good thoughts sent my way to make sure that, you know, to help buoy me up and make sure that I can do a decent job of delivering the message that I believe all of us are meant to hear today at this point in time on this call right now. I believe that each of us are in the right place at the right time. And I believe that each of us, when we come to a call like this with the expectation that we're going to get something that's going to help us move forward, I believe that 9 times out of 10 we're going to get just that. And so my intention is to do the best I can to deliver the message in such a way that each of us can get what we came here for. So I got to tell you just a quick couple of little stories that happened in my life over the last couple of days. You know, I mentioned this, I think it was Monday or sometime last week, this little project that I've started with my children. You know, it started with my 7-year-old son, Caden, having this little MP3 player, and I brought him into my office, and I said, hey, do you want me to record something for you? And I recorded for my 7-year-old son the self-confidence formula on his MP3 player, and I also put on there an audio from Art Williams, and I put on a little bit more auto suggestion that, you know, comes from his dad. And I've been noticing my 7-year-old walking around listening to this MP3 player, and one thing that I didn't do is I didn't put the major definite purpose on his MP3 player, because I just thought, you know, 7-year-old kid saying to himself, by the first day of such and such, I will have in my possession X amount of dollars, you know, income. I thought, you know, 7 years old, maybe he's a little bit too young for that. So I left that off, but I did put the self-confidence formula. I've been watching my 7-year-old walk around the house listening and walking around outside listening to this MP3 player. And the other day he says, Dad, I listened to that big, long, hour-long thing. And I'm like, you listen to Art Williams for an hour? And he's like, yeah, I did. And we talked a little bit about what he'd learned. 7 years old, guys. And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. But kind of along these lines, another thing that's happened in my family is we've got this project where we're doing some landscaping, and we're moving all these rocks from the front part of the house clear to the back of the property, a whole bunch of rocks, and we're doing them one by one into a wheelbarrow, right? And I wanted to involve my children in this process, so my wife says, you know, why don't you pay them a penny a rock? And so we've been moving these rocks from the front of the house back to the back of the house and, you know, filling this wheelbarrow up one by one by one, you know, with these rocks. And yesterday, last night, and by the way, Dad has to move the wheelbarrow back to the back of the property, and Dad has to pull all the rocks out one by one, counting them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cents, you know, all the way up to $2.20 and $3, right? We got 200 to 300 rocks in these barrels, and I'm counting them so that we can record what the children have done and pay them, right, based on their efforts. So yesterday I'm sitting, you know, I'm sitting in the back of the property and I'm unloading these rocks and, you know, I'm counting up, and each of my kids are so excited to be earning this money. And I'm counting up the rocks, and we're coming to $2.20 and $3 per wheelbarrow load. And, you know, the thought hit me as I was unloading the wheelbarrow that what we were doing, that activity that we were engaged in with my children, where they were learning how to work and where they were learning how to earn money and they were learning how to feel good about what they were doing and be proud of getting a job done, the thought hit me that this is worth so much more than $2.20. or $2.35. I had the feeling that there was something bigger happening in that little activity. And then later on in the day, I'm sitting in the house, and my son, Caden, he's talking about how much money he's earning. And, you know, he's got this little backpack that he wants for school. It's a Star Wars backpack. It's got a big picture of Darth Vader on the back, right? And little does my son know, my wife already ordered the backpack for him. So we're sitting there in the kitchen yesterday, and my son Caden's talking about how much money he's earning, and he's like, I can buy my own backpack. And my wife's like, yeah, yeah, you can. And she's like, maybe we can go in on it with you, Caden. Maybe, you know, we can pay for half and you can pay for half. And my 7-year-old son, Caden's talking about how he can take that backpack to school and how proud he is that he could tell his schoolmates that he bought it with his own money. And I saw this smile on his face, and I saw this sense of self-satisfaction that he had done something with his own two hands, and he had completed a job, and he had, you know, engaged in effort, and it made this money. And again, I thought to myself, how much more is this little lesson worth than $2.20 a wheelbarrow load, right? It's priceless. And then later on, I heard my son Caden, out of the blue, you guys, this is what he said. He said, Dad, I've got a goal. And I said, what's your goal, son? And he said, I want to save up $500 in 1 year. And I thought about that for a moment, and I realized that what my 7-year-old son had just done was set himself a major definite purpose. And I remembered back to the couple days before when I thought he was too young, and I didn't put the major definite purpose on his MP3 player. But now, out of the blue, he's setting himself a major definite purpose. And I said to myself, let's do it, man. Let's record that for you. How much you want to earn and by when. And I talked to him about how when he listens to this every day, what it's going to do, and it's going to remind him, and he's going to look for ways that he can accumulate the money, and how excited that I was that he had set a major definite purpose for himself. And again, I was reminded that the lessons we were learning yesterday as a family were worth so much more than $2.20 a wheelbarrow load full of rocks, and were worth so much more than $3 for a wheelbarrow load full of rocks. And I thought, maybe, my friends, as we're moving forward in our entrepreneurial journeys, I know there's somebody on the line today that's just getting started in the business. I know there's somebody on the line today who's maybe been moving that wheelbarrow of rocks back and forth for a couple of months or 3 months, and maybe that a dollar amount that's accumulating, right, in their stockpile is not as big as maybe they would have liked it to be by this point, right? I would like to maybe remind all of us that the things that we're doing in our business on a daily basis are worth so much more than that check amount that we see at the end of the month, or maybe that check amount that's not there yet, but we see it in our mind and we know it's coming. The things that we're doing are worth so much more. And I was listening to Jim Rohn this morning in the gym, and I heard Jim Rohn talking about, you know, accumulating all the nice stuff and the cars and the flashy stuff and the plastic, you know, DVD players and TVs and all. And he says, you know, all this stuff's great. And he says, and I say, someone who's worked hard for it and gotten it, good for them, because having a lot of nice stuff is fun when you've gotten it. But he also said, take care and maybe even beware that the stuff that really matters can get buried up in all the plastic and metal. And I heard Jim Rohn expressing that idea that there are things that happen that are worth more than the $2.20 and the $2.35 for every wheelbarrow load. And then Jim Rohn went on to talk about how one day when the clock strikes midnight and the carriage turns back into a pumpkin, maybe what we've gotten will be a little less important than what we've become. Maybe what we've gotten will be a little less important than who we are. And I thought about that, and it just rang true for me, my friends. It rang true for me. And then I thought about this morning as I was on my way to the gym this morning, and for some strange reason on my way to the gym, I was thinking about the topic of trust. And I was thinking about how important honesty is and being able to trust people and being able to trust your leaders, how important that is. I was thinking about that. And then I got to the gym and I opened up my iPad and I looked at the message we were going to go through this morning, which just happened to be the major attributes of leadership that Dr. Napoleon Hill had laid down for us in the book Think and Grow Rich, the major attributes of leadership. And I thought to myself, trust, right? Is trust on this list? And I scanned through the list and I didn't see trust. And I scanned through it again and I didn't see trust. And then I scanned through again and I noticed there was an item on the list that was called a keen sense of justice. And I thought, well, maybe that's where trust fits in, this keen sense of justice, right? And I was thinking about this call, and I was thinking about, you know, the last 3 years that we've been on this call, many of us every single day, and I was thinking about the different experiences that we've gone through. And I was thinking about, you know, I remember there was a time when I was just starting the call and not real experienced. And I'm still, you know, got a lot of room to grow, guys. I'm still so much more experience to gain. But I was real fresh in doing this call and not really knowing what to do. And I remember there was a guy that came on the line. I won't mention his name, but he had had some experience, you know, speaking in public in the past. And he says, hey, you need a co-host. And he came on the line and was co-hosting the call. And after not too long, it became very apparent that this individual wasn't living the principles that we were talking about on this call every day. And it became even a little bit more apparent that maybe that person's intention was not necessarily for the good of the people on the call or to get the message out in the right way, but maybe more so to lift himself up and to say, hey, look at me, look who I am, right? And I, in counsel with one of my mastermind members, made the decision that we needed to remove that person's position of authority on the call. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. It was difficult. You know, me as a person by nature, I kind of like to just, you know, be in harmony with everyone and be happy and, you know, be peaceful. And I don't really enjoy confrontation. And so for me to actually have to go to someone and say, hey, we're going to have to make a change here. Why? Because the intention of the call and the people on the call and the integrity of the message and the intention of helping people is more important than maybe me feeling a little bit of confrontation, right? And I'll tell you, that was a very confrontational time in my life for a period of a week. You can ask my wife, you know, stayed up late at night and, you know, stressed out and so on and so forth. But you know what? Because I value the trust that you have placed in me, many of you on this call, you know, you invite your teams to this call. And many of you on this call aren't in the company that I'm in. In fact, I know one guy on this call, Super Duper Stan. He's a tremendous leader in the home business profession. I don't even know what company this guy's in. And for all I know, he doesn't even know what company I'm in. But you know what? He comes to this call every day. You heard him introduce himself this morning. I know he invites his team members to the call, and he invites people that he meets in networking events to the call. And you know what? The trust that he has placed in me is so much more important than any confrontation that I might have to face to keep the integrity of the call, right? The trust, my friends, is so important. And as I think about trust as a quality of a leadership and some of the things I've experienced in the home business profession, I want to share some of these experiences with each of you, my friends, because it's so instructional as we study leadership and as we're going to get into the major attributes of leadership here in a moment that Dr. Napoleon Hill, you know, lays out for us. This quality of trust. I remember when I first got started in the home business profession, I remember I was following a certain leader. And I remember this leader was very charismatic, and I remember this leader had actually had quite a bit of success in the home business profession. And I remember there were a lot of things about this leader that I looked up to, right? I'm new in the home business profession. I'm looking for guidance. I'm looking for leadership. And I remember this guy. I remember how good he was. I remember how he made me feel, right, as he lifted me up and he said good things about me, made me feel good, right? And I followed him. As I followed him and as I continued to follow him and as I got to know him even better, I started to notice some things. I started to notice that some of the stories that he told were out of harmony with reality. I started to notice that some of the things he said were a little bit inflated and weren't necessarily that true, right? And then I remember one time we had a little fallout with the company that we were in, and He ran off to another company. And I remember him inviting myself and some other people to fly down to corporate headquarters of this other company to meet the CEO, this billionaire, and to meet the members of the management team and so on and so forth. And we flew down to this company, and I won't mention the company name, I won't even mention where we flew, but we flew down to this company, and we experienced, in what is my opinion, an ugly side of the home business profession. And that ugly side of the home business profession was, we went down for a weekend, we got wined and dined, we got put up in a nice hotel, we got treated to nice dinners. Over the course of the weekend, I discovered that this leader that I had been following was offered a package for coming to this company. And what a package is when this leader is, you know, they offer him $10,000 or $20,000 a month. Sometimes they call it bridge money. There's lots of different names for it. But they offered this guy this money to come over to this company. And what they were doing for us was they were whining and dining us to get us to join. They were kind of doing the same thing, like bribing us a little bit, right, trying to get us to join this company. And I remember just this feeling in my gut that this wasn't a good thing. And I remember going through that weekend thinking to myself, well, if you guys got to fly me down here and wine and dine me to get me to join the company, what are my people going to do? What are my team members going to do when they go to recruit someone? If they have to fly, you know, they're not going to be able to fly people down to the company and wine and dine them and put them up in nice hotel rooms and tell them all these pretty things, right? What are they going to do? And I remember it just didn't feel right to me, right? It didn't feel right to me. And I was actually last night with my wife, we were reading Think and Grow Rich, and we were in the chapter on decision. And we were reading about, I think it was Samuel Adams, right? One of the founders of the United States of America, one of the fathers of the Revolution. And I remember there was a point in the story where the representative of the crown calls Samuel Adams in, and he says, you know, we know you've been, you know, rebel-rousing, so they, you know, rebel-rousing, you've been inciting people to believe in freedom and you know, rebel against the crown. And basically this representative of the crown says, hey, listen, I have been authorized by the crown to give you whatever you want. You know, I can give you lots of money, I can give you position, I can give you homes. You know, basically we're going to make your life really, you know, really easy if you'll agree to stop what you're doing and come on our side and do what we want you to do. And I remember Samuel Adams' reply. Samuel Adams said, you can tell the king that I have long since made my peace with the King of Kings, and no amount of bribery is going to cause me to come over to your side. And I remember Dr. Napoleon Hill talking about how there's men who have prostituted the honor to which for which men like Samuel Adams and others risked their lives and actually even gave their lives. And I thought about that little experience where I went down to that company and there was a little bit of bribery happening, right? Trust, my friends, trust. You know that leader that took me down there? He lost my trust a long time ago, and he's called me several times about different businesses, and you know what? I don't really give any credence to what he shares with me ever. Why? Because he lost my trust, and trust is everything. Trust is everything. I'll tell you one other little story, and then we'll get into the content of the call that we're going to, or the content of Thinking Rich that we're going to go through. Not too long ago, back in 2011, I was building a network marketing company. And it was really a good thing for me at the time and for my family. It was one of our first. It was really our first major breakthrough, and it was something that I believed in wholeheartedly. I loved it, right? I was so excited about what I had found and the income breakthrough that I had found, and we were building a team, and we'd gone about 18 months of just increased volume every single month, right? Going up, 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 up. My income's going up, 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 up. My team members are getting checks, you know, we're having fun, we're living the dream, right? Just having a great time living in freedom and talking about freedom and helping people experience financial freedom. I remember back in 2011, I think it was, or maybe it was actually, I can't remember the exact date, but I remember we'd been building for about 18 months. Everything was going great. And then I remember one time the company owner decided to call a conference call. So he gets all of us on the line, and, you know, here my team and everyone in the company, we get on the phone, and, you know, as far as we're concerned, everything's great. And what this company owner does is he said, "Hey, guys, listen, I've decided that I'm going to launch another company. And this isn't going to interfere with what we're doing here with Company A. We're just going to have," and they call it a sister company, Company B, right? "And this is my first big success in the home business profession. So at first I'm a little confused. I'm like, well, I don't know that this makes a lot of sense. But, you know, I was like, well, I guess. I mean, we'll see what happens." And what happened was, my friends, is that the volume that had been going up every month for me for 18 months straight and for my team members, the second that Company B was launched to my team, the brakes were put on, the volume stopped, and then it began to drop, and the income began to drop every month, and it has continued to do so for as long as I actually still have a little bit of a check in the company, but my check now is a fraction of what it was. And I experienced what happens when somebody violates your trust. I experienced the horror of watching your volume pause and then drop and be crushed. I experienced the horror of watching myself and other major leaders that I'd been working with side by side for the last 18 months. I watched and experienced the horror of us instantly being turned into liars. Even though that was not our intention, we had been preaching a certain message for the last 18 months. Guys, this is the place. This is where our future is going to be built, so on and so forth. And then instantly with a conference call, Paul Hutchings and other leaders are now liars because everything we'd been saying for the last 18 months was no longer true. Right? No longer true. That company owner violated our trust. And then last week, this same company owner sends out an email to the company, an apology email. Get this, you guys, get this. This is so instructional for leadership. It's so instructional for figuring out why people follow people, why good people can get people to buy in with them and stay with them, right? And not just be around for a day, not just be around for a month, but be around for years and years and years to come. Because can we all be honest with each other and just say, you know, we're here for life? I mean, I'm here for life. I'm in this message of freedom for life. I'm in this message of independence for life. I'm in this message of personal growth for life. And I'm not here to get a follower one day and lose them another day. I'm not here to have leaders stand by me today but be gone next week and be gone next month, right? I'm here to build a foundation. And it's so instructional, my friends, to look at some of these mistakes that people make. So this same company owner that did what he did last week sends an email out to the company and says, "I'm sorry," right? So everyone's antenna goes up. Man, maybe this guy realized the error of his ways. He says he's sorry, right? Maybe he realized the error of his ways. So I open up the email. I was actually with Mike Hobbs at the time. We were at an event together, and Mike Hobbs is actually in this company that I'm talking about, who shall remain nameless. Some of you might know the company. Mike Hobbs and I open up this email, right? We're actually at a brewery. We're shooting some pool and doing some networking, and Mike's like, "Check out this email." So he opens up his phone, and this email's like, "Dear company, I am sorry for what I did." And then he goes on to pitch the entire company on a new company. He apologizes, and then he goes on to violate our trust again in the apology letter. Now, I ask you, my friends, will Paul Hutchings ever consider following that man? Will Paul Hutchings ever consider doing, no matter what's in it for me, you know, an easy 3, 5, 10 grand? Guys, I won't consider following that man ever again. Why? Because he violated my trust, and he did it again, and he did it again. And in my opinion, guys, we deserve to be told the truth, don't we? We deserve to. I remember actually another quote from Jim Rohn. Listening to Jim Rohn teach about honesty and listening to Jim Rohn teach about trust and listening to Jim Rohn talk about what happens when somebody lies to another person, it's as if they are stealing, literally stealing from another person. What are they stealing? They're stealing that person's sense of reality. They're a thief, right? And I don't believe people deserve to be stolen from. I believe people deserve to be told the truth, and I believe that there are things that are more important than $2.20 in a wheelbarrow full of rocks, right? One more final story, actually, then we'll jump into this content, because this is so instructional, you guys. I was actually talking to another great leader in the home business profession not too long ago. And I won't mention his name, because if I did, you'd probably know the company that I'm gonna mention, but I won't mention the name. But this guy's a great leader, a lot of integrity. If I said his name, you guys would all know who he was. Servant leader, cares about people, wants to do the right thing, and you know does do the right thing as far as I can see. Talking to him over dinner a couple of weeks ago, and he told me a story of a top leader in, we'll call it XYZ company. Top leader in XYZ company. Everyone would probably know this guy's name. I won't mention him, right? Because we're not here to slander people. We're here to learn and grow. So this individual I'm having dinner with tells me this story about his interaction with this top leader in this other company. And this top leader in this other company was telling my friend how the game is played in network marketing. And he proceeds to tell him, what I do is I buy about $40,000 a month worth of volume, right, on my own credit card, and then I shift it around within my team to create new stories. So that new stories of success are always coming through. So that new stories of success are always causing people to believe. And then my friend says, well, what the heck do you do with the $40,000 worth of product? And then this top leader, who is famous, who most everyone would know if we mentioned his name, proceeds to tell my friend, well, I take it out to the reservation. You know, there's a Native American reservation out here that I have some contacts where I can dump all the product for about 50%, so I can make 50% of my money back. But he says that's not the point. The point is I'm using the volume to create new stories. Guys, gals, fictitious stories. Stories that are built upon lies to perpetuate our belief in the company. Can we see how that's stealing our sense of reality? Can we see how that's building a picture that's not true, that's not accurate? And I call our attention back to the fifth line of the self-confidence formula that we repeat on a daily basis that says something to the effect of, I know that no amount of wealth can long endure unless built upon truth and justice, my friends. Truth and justice, building a sure foundation, one of the major attributes of leadership, in my personal opinion. So, my friends, I hope we think about this stuff. I hope we take it to heart. I hope we realize that to build something that's going to last, we've got to have people's trust. I hope you realize that my intention for this call is you. It's me. It's us. It's to help us have the best forum where we can all come together on a daily basis, a safe place to learn what we need to learn, to develop the mindset of the entrepreneur who's going to be a light in the world, my friends. That is my intention. I'm not here to pitch. You know, occasionally we'll have someone come on this call like an author like we had a couple of weeks ago, and I think we'll have Don Green, chairman of the Napoleon Hill Foundation, back on here talking about his book. So we'll have stuff like that from time to time. But you guys know that's not my intention to come on this call and sell you guys stuff. That is not my intention. As a matter of fact, I'm very, very protective of it. One of the speakers we had on the line, I told them no when they wanted to come on the line. And I've told other people no, because sometimes I get the sense that they just want to come on and pitch you guys stuff. And that's not the purpose. And I hope you guys realize that, and I hope you feel that, and I hope you know that I'll do whatever I need to do as far as I can see to protect the integrity and the trust that you have placed in me and in this call, because I love you guys, and I believe that you deserve trust. I believe you deserve the truth. So With that, my friends, let's jump right into the major attributes of leadership. And this is only 2 pages, so we'll get through it quickly, and then we'll have a great mastermind discussion. These are the major attributes of leadership, as illustrated by Dr. Napoleon Hill. Number one, unwavering courage, based upon knowledge of self and of one's occupation. No follower wishes to be dominated by a leader who lacks self-confidence and courage. No intelligent follower will be dominated by such a leader very long. Two, self-control. The man who cannot control himself can never control others. Self-control sets a mighty example for one's followers, which the more intelligent will emulate. Three, a keen sense of justice. Without a sense of fairness and justice, no leader can command and retain the respect of his followers. Four, definiteness of decision. The man who wavers in his decision shows that he is not sure of himself. He cannot lead others successfully. Five, definiteness of plans. The successful leader must plan his work and work his plan. A leader who moves by guesswork without practical definite plans is comparable to a ship without a rudder. Sooner or later, he will land on the rocks. Six, the habit of doing more than paid for. One of the penalties of leadership is the necessity of willingness upon the part of the leader to do more than he requires of his followers. Seven, a pleasing personality. No slovenly, careless person can become a successful leader. Leadership calls for respect. Followers will not respect a leader who does not grade high on all of the factors of a pleasing personality. Eight, sympathy and understanding. The successful leader must be in sympathy with his followers. Moreover, he must understand them and their problems. Nine, mastery of detail. Successful leadership calls for mastery of details of the leader's position. 10, willingness to assume full responsibility. The successful leader must be willing to assume responsibility for the mistakes and the shortcomings of his followers. If he tries to shift this responsibility, he will not remain the leader. If one of his followers makes a mistake and shows himself incompetent, the leader must consider that it is he who failed. 11, cooperation. The successful leader must understand and apply the principle of cooperative effort and be able to induce his followers to do the same. Leadership calls for power, and power calls for cooperation. There are two forms of leadership. The first and by far the most effective is leadership by consent of and with the sympathy of the followers. The second is leadership by force without the consent and sympathy of the followers. So I think that's a good place to stop. Gosh, we've gone on for quite a long time here, my friends. I think we've got a lot to talk about. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. Keep in mind, no mention of company names. Let's keep this a safe place, and brevity and relevance in your comments would be greatly appreciated. One second. Star 6, who's first?
Good morning, Paul. It's Doc Fran.
Hey, good morning, Doc.
No, first, I have a whole wheelbarrow full of rocks. Where do I send them?
I'll hook you up with my 7-year-old phone number after the call.
And yesterday, Nancy watches this show every day. She records it on Sunday mornings. It's called Sunday Morning with Charles Carralt. And they always have uplifting segments on this show. And the one Sunday morning dovetailed so perfectly with the message that you taught so beautifully on Monday. And it showed a snippet about a woman who started a nonprofit bicycle repair shop in a North Jersey city in the seamy side of town in the lower income areas. And what she did was she advertised for kids to come and work there. And what they did is they worked for free, and when they accumulated 15 hours of work where they were learning how to repair bicycles and assemble bicycles and rebuild bicycles, etc., they then got to pick any bicycle of their choice as their personal bicycle. And the whole 15 minutes was just full of these kids from 10 to 17 talking about the sense of fulfillment they got by earning their bicycle and learning the new skills and understanding the connection between work and action performance, reward, and satisfaction. And in the beginning, the woman was talking, and she said, you know, I was really worried about whether I would have enough children come and apply to work here. And what has happened is that she expected that as soon as these kids finished their 15 hours and got their bike, they would be off into the winds on their bike. And now these kids, the place is overflowing every day with these children coming back, and the ones that have already earned their bicycles are teaching and mentoring and coaching the children that are coming into the program, helping them learn how to achieve their goals through effort and success. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, what an incredible story. Thank you so much, Doc. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, good morning, Paul. This is Cater.
Cater, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing this morning?
Good, man.
Awesome, awesome. Just love hearing your story, guys. And, you know, I had something just like you happen to me when I first started in this business myself. So definitely, guys, you want to stand your ground. I mean, if you're on this call, you're learning the stuff. And I've poured so much information from this call, and I've also gained so much out of this call that is building me into, you know, really is building me to the next level. And you can do the same thing. I remember first starting, coming to this call, I did also started in a business, recruited a couple of people, and I started a little Facebook group because I had a vision. I really was about the people, and I wanted to change. Because once you can set yourself to the people, the change in your income will come. But if you just all about yourself or all about the business, it will not come, or the people, because people really is what makes you money. And once I could understand that, it's not really the company you promote. Like Paul said, it doesn't even matter what company that you really in, because it's not really the company. The company will give you all the tools. You know, the company will do whatever they can do to make the company better. Your job is to actually make yourself better. We just came from an event, and the company we're part of, they're dropping some really nice thing in the company to make the company better. So I understand our job on this call is really to make ourselves better, because the company every year, they're going to make whatever they got to do. They're going to spend whatever they got to spend to make themselves better. But you, your job is to actually make yourself better and be for the people, because people is what actually will make you income, not the company. And understood that, I remember this guy I sponsored in my business, you know, we started doing this thing, and I had a vision, guys. And if you're on this call, create your own vision. Know exactly what you want, and do not let somebody else come and take that vision away from you. Know and understand who do you want to help, how many people you want to help, and keep with that vision. And I remember when I started, he came through, and he started doing his thing, you know, started doing this and that. And he told me, you know what, Cater, I understand this, but we need to change the name of this Facebook group. I don't really like the name. I don't really like where you're going or whatever. I was like, dude, I sponsored you. This is the vision I have for the people. This is how I got started. You know, a few months later, he quit it. And the next thing, he called me. You know, he was back to a 9-to-5 and wanted to get back into another business. And he see how I've been doing. He wants to get back. But, guys, you know, I'm just like Paul. I don't like confrontation, but I did stand my ground because I believe in my vision, and I believe of where I'm going, and I believe of what I want for the people, and I believe in what's going to come by being for the people and being there for them, and I believed in that. So if you're on this call, create your vision. Know exactly what you want, and keep plugging back in into this call. Don't let anybody take that away from you, my friend. I am glad to be here. Back to you, Paul.
I applaud you, Cater. Awesome stuff, man. Thank you so much. Star 6.
Paul, it's Elvire.
This is Bill.
Hey, Elvire. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Wonderful call. Love it. I just have a question, and it's about number two, the self-control. And I hope that you and who else can help me on this. The person who lacks self-control can never control others. What I have learned is you have no control over others, because whatever somebody tries to do to you or force onto you, you can still object against that. Aldous Huxley said the only place you can control in the universe is your own little spot. So I am lacking understanding here, lacking insight. What does the author mean by writing down that the person who lacks self-control can never control others in the realm of the 11 major factors of leadership? Because listening to what you said, this doesn't jazz with me, if you get it. So any kind of feedback is very welcome.
Yeah, maybe I'll veer if you swap out the word control with influence. And I know in some cases in the traditional business world, the boss does tell people what to do. So there is a sense of direction, right? A sense of, you know, a little bit of a sense of control. But maybe influence would help you understand that a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill? Was that Bill?
Yes, that's Bill. This is Bill Moyse from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey,
and,
good morning, Bill.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Paul. Just yesterday, I had the first manifestation of the major definite purpose and self-confidence formula and affirmations. Your friend turned me on to your call at the end of May, and you know, at first I thought, well, I've heard this before. I read the book, you know, many, many years ago, and I thought, well, I'll listen once a week. But after a few calls, I started listening every day, and it's really become an important part of my day. So, recently, over the last 60 days, I've invested quite a bit of money in this new business I'm getting involved with, and now the 1st of August, I'm running a little short. But, you know, I was focused on my major definite purpose and my self-confidence formula rather than, you know, feeling sorry for myself or getting down, or you know how we do, we focus on the wrong things. So yesterday, I got an email from one of my prospects and one of the investments I'm selling. He came into a bunch of money, and he wants to make an investment. We're meeting with him Thursday, and then I got a voicemail this morning from yesterday. I've been working on a $20 million recapitalization for this development company, and I got a really positive call back from my lead. So both of those things happened, I believe, as a result of doing the things that you've been teaching. And so I want to thank you for that. It's really changed my life for the better.
Oh, man,
back
that's
you,
awesome, Bill. Thank you. Really appreciate that. Awesome stuff.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Victoria.
And we can thank Napoleon Hill for that, not me, but yeah. Star
Hello,
6,
Victoria.
Who's next? Hey, Victoria, good morning.
Yes,
Bill.
Victoria, North Carolina. I am enjoying this. Dominique told me about the call, and Paul, I'm definitely enjoying every aspect of what you're talking about. I do think that there is a calling for children. I do think that the world is fast changing. I do think and believe that business as we've been doing it will someday be no longer, that there will be an ongoing stream of trust between people of business. There will be a very definite passing back and forth of value from the customer to the seller and from the seller to the customer. And I'm so thankful for all this, and I would like to learn more about how to help children to understand, maybe even having a school or a call for children where children can start to express and to learn how to set their goals even from the youth.
Awesome, Victoria. Thank you very much. Appreciate those.
Hey, Paul, it's Phil.
Bill? Or Phil?
Phil. This is Phil from Michigan. Yep.
Oh, hey, Phil. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Hey, just real quick, I wanted to jump out here. And, Paul, what you were saying about trust really, really resonated with me. I started to think about how I initially got into the home-based business profession and with this particular company that I'm with. And it was really based on the trust that a new mentor, I hadn't known him for a long time, as a matter of fact, it was really based on the trust that he instilled in me with him. And I would have done whatever this person would have said. If he would have said, Phil, you need to go to this cliff and you need to jump off. And the only question I would have asked is, which one again? Okay, let's go. You know, based on trust. And I was at an event a couple of weeks ago. I'll say this and I'll let it go. I was at an event a couple of weeks ago, and there was a speaker. I don't even think he was a scheduled speaker. I think he was just an attorney. he was on stage and he was talking about trust, and he said that trust has an economic value. Trust has an economic value, and I thought about that, and I really thought about the home-based business profession. And if you're in it for the right reasons, you realize that we are in it to help people, and that if you are operating from a position of character and integrity, that people won't trust you, and you don't have a business. You can have the best comp plan, the best product in the world, but if you aren't loving people and treating people just as they are people, not profit machines and all this other kinds of stuff, then you can have, you know, the kind of lifestyle that you want to have, and you can super rest easy at night knowing that you built this business based on trust, character, and integrity, and treating people exactly the way they need to be treated. So I just wanted to leave that with you all. Thanks a lot. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, such awesome points, Phil. Thank you so much.
Hey, Paul.
I heard Fortune first. Go ahead, Fortune.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. I just want to touch on there briefly what the viewer's question about the word control being used in there. Again, as you pointed out there, I think it does have to deal with influence. Yes. We also have to remember that the language, this is written in the language of 1920. So the way words are used and they've been put out there has changed a little bit. But what I believe, again, is what he's talking about here. He's talking about leadership in this particular, in the context of this word control here, is he's talking about leadership. So when we're thinking about someone and how a person who is following and being someone that's following a leader is going to be being guided and directed by that leader. So, yes, in the basic, the core sense of control, yes, as human beings, we are, as people, we have our own sense of direction. We have our own, we all have our own say. So whether we're going to say yes or no, or do what someone tells us or directs us to do, yes. But in being a good follower and following a leader and following my, as we think about, like, as Paul is trying to direct his children and teach his children, his boys, where to go, they can, yes, say, no, I don't want to go here. But when they have given up control of that part of their life to try to be guided by their father, yes, they still can say no and don't want to do it. But they've given up control on that because they trust them, as Paul has been talking about, spoke about so many different examples. They've given up that control to try to follow where I'm being led to. When I go to my minister, my pastor, for guidance or for some spiritual principles or that, I'm sure people come to you, Avir. You have some type of influence and direction. You're controlling the direction of their life in a sense, and that they're following, going to you and giving up control. Like, I don't know what to do here. Tell me where to go. I'm giving this to you. Tell me where to go. So in that sense, I'm giving up control, being influenced by that person. I hope that helps.
Very much so.
Matt Rivers?
Yeah, Matt, go ahead. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys, and thank you for the call, Paul. In relation to trust, I kind of, on a personal level, like in relationships, that's kind of where I feel most slighted in the most recent past. And I received a pretty lengthy text from the founder of a company last night that gave me some insight on how to actually deal with it. Plus, with the self-confidence formula, there's a line in there talking about hatred and being able to, you know, and just kind of get past it all. And there are different levels of trust. And I think as it relates to maybe business, it's more integrity. Well, I guess it kind of relate to both sides, relationships and business. But like for the example that you presented, Paul, this morning about that business owner or the leader that betrayed your trust, not once, but twice, you know, it's a different feel to it if it's more personal as far as a relationship. But nonetheless, it's still you know, you're still losing your trust of that person. And it's just a matter of being able to, you know, get better yourself to be able to forgive that person. And, you know, that's what I'm working on, being able to forgive the person that betrayed my trust and just kind of move on from there. And I hope the same for you, Paul, that you're able to just kind of, you know, look into all the wisdom that you already have under your belt to just kind of, you know, forgive that leader and just kind of move on from it. And I think we'll all be in a better situation in the future and being able to deal with it in ways. But I thank you guys for the the call, and have some time with the stream. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great point, Matt. Really appreciate that.
Paul, Anthony from Charlotte, North Carolina.
There was a lady right before you, Anthony. Who's the lady?
Hi, Paul. It's Christy Howard. How are you doing?
Hey, doing great. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the call. I'm so appreciative to have this resource available to us every day. It seems like the thing that you said about stealing your sense of reality when someone lies to you really resonates with a lot of people, including myself. And that's what I wanted to talk about because, you know, I had a revolution yesterday when I wrote a blog post about how you do anything is how you do everything and looking inside yourself and, you know, this not so much dealing with betrayal of trust, you know, from other people, but starting with yourself. And this doesn't really relate to what you were saying about the company that betrayed your trust or the two founders, but it does have a lot to do with how we are able to relate to other people and how we can ensure that people find us genuine and people can trust us as people, you know, as individuals, especially if you are some type of marketer, you're some type of entrepreneur, and people are looking to you, you know, for expertise in your industry. And one of the things that I learned yesterday was that do you trust yourself? You know, when you say things to yourself, when you say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or I intend to do this or this is what I'm going to do with my business this month, when you say those things to yourself, you know, be it in your business life, your personal life, no matter where it is, do you believe yourself? One, do you believe yourself? And two, do you follow up on things with yourself? You know, can you depend on yourself? Because that has a lot to do with your ability or your inability to trust other people. If you're not at peace with yourself, if you're not able to even believe your own word, one, how can you expect anyone to put anything to believe your word? And two, you know, there's an internal struggle going on there, and that comes through, I believe, in your message when you're not able to say that, you know, you're forthcoming and you're forthright and that you follow up on what you say and that you believe in your own word, you know, to yourself, that, you know, it makes it creates an internal struggle that, you know, comes out in your business and comes out in your videos, it comes out in your marketing. So I think it's important a lot of times when we're looking at things to start with ourselves, to look in the mirror. You know, how do you feel about yourself and do you trust yourself? And I think that that will kind of extend out to other people, you know, trusting you, having faith in you, and ultimately wanting to follow you. But that's all I have. I wanted to share because as you were saying that, I was kind of reflecting on what I studied yesterday and how it made me feel and how I can apply that to my business.
Such valuable insight. Thank you so much for that. Anthony, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, very clearly.
Okay. Just wanted to jump out here real quick, and I'm going to be real quick because I know the time is actually winding down. But I just wanted to share here with everybody on the call that I know something that I have reflected upon not only in my meditation but in life, that you can't really separate who you are from what it is that you do. You know, and the thing about it is that making money people, I know for myself and, you know, for some other people that I have observed, that you really can't, you know, there has to be an amount of self-respect for yourself, as the last speaker was talking about, as far as it all has to do with yourself and having self-respect and knowing that there's values that you value about yourself. As far as not only making money, but what you do in life. And as you was talking about earlier about, you know, being involved with other leaders, you know, it comes down with you looking at what you value in life. As far as not only self-respect, but, you know, trust within yourself, you know, wanting to do good because it's good, not because, you know, somebody else is watching. But having a sense of, I want to place my thought on the right word here. Having a sense of value, not only value, but having a sense of all I can call it is self-respect for yourself, and knowing that you won't do anything to hurt yourself, so therefore you won't do anything to hurt anybody else. I think it goes all the way back to that right there, and having that deep sense of knowing who you are, knowing that, you know, you want the best for yourself, and bringing it into your business at the same time. Just wanted to add that. Turn it back over to you, Paul.
Yeah, awesome points, Anthony, and everyone. Really, really appreciate the mastermind portion of the call. I kind of go back to one of the things that we talked about a few weeks ago, where we talked about how you can't give something that you don't have yourself. So it is really imperative that we learn to trust ourselves. It's imperative that we learn to, you know, make decisions and stand by them. You know, every morning when we do the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula, that adds another little drop into the bucket of, you know, our trust for ourselves, because we know that we're doing what we need to be doing. Every night when we visualize our goals, we learn to trust ourselves a little bit more. When we follow through under our decisions, we learn to trust ourselves a little bit more. And as we trust ourselves, we can then start to gain more and more trust from our prospects, from our team members, and the people that we're working on having a positive influence over in our lives. So, such an important topic, my friend. Thank you so much for being people who would engage in this type of discussion, right? Trust, it's so important. And as Phil pointed out, it does have an economic value. You know, we look at trust and we say a lot of times, hey, you know, even if it costs us money, I would rather have integrity, I would rather have trust. But, you know, as Philip pointed out, in most cases, it's going to make us money. It's going to make us money. And maybe we can think about that, you know, in the home business profession. I know that our industry is rife with, you know, over-promise, under-deliver, get-rich-quick, you know, fast with this simple system and so on and so forth. Maybe we can take a look at that a little bit, my friends, and maybe we can say to ourselves, could we be a little bit more honest in our message? You know, could we be honest enough to tell people that, you know, hey, our opportunities are fantastic. However, you know, it's you that's going to have to make it work, right? And you may need to go through some personal growth to make this thing work, right? I mean, maybe we could build some of that into our message. And I kind of have a feeling that as we do that, we'll notice the quality of people that we have to work with will probably increase. And I have a feeling that our message will be different in the marketplace, which, as we know, being different catches attention, you know? Don't be the one who's promising quick riches by tomorrow, right? Don't be that person, because, you know, it just doesn't see, it's what everyone's doing, right? Everyone else is doing that. And it seems like if we want to have, you know, success in life, we kind of need to learn to watch what everyone else is doing in some cases and walk away from the 97%, as Jim Rohn, you know, used to say. Don't walk like they walk. Don't talk like they talk. Don't do what they do. Be a little bit different. And, you know, I'm challenging myself along with everyone on the call today. Let's take a look at our message, let's take a look at our integrity, let's take a look at our trust, and let's see if there might be some places that we can improve upon. And I thank you for doing that. And by the way, tomorrow, I don't feel that we gave the 10 attributes of leadership as good a look and as good a discussion as they probably deserve. So maybe in preparation for tomorrow, we can all look through those, study them, think about experiences in our lives where we've seen them play out, and tomorrow we can have a really good discussion focusing in on those 10 major attributes of leadership. My friends, I love you. Get out there, make it a great day, take action, plow through temporary setbacks, and we'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Bye for now.